Brianna.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and welcome to BoxBox F1 Pod. Today, we're reviewing the Belgian Grand Prix. If you watch the Grand Prix, I'm sorry. we will try to make sense of all the rain. We'll get into what a weird race that was. But first, it's time for our digital warm-up.
Do-do-do. Lap one. Checo's contract with Red Bull was renewed for 2022. No big shock there.
No.
Happy for him.
Same.
And happy for Christian that he found the D2 he could finally renew.
Agreed. And happy for Max that he finally has an adequate D2.
Yes. okay, lap two. It was Valtteri Bottas' birthday on Saturday. He turned 32, but his racing number is 77, so Mercedes put a massive 77 on his cake, and I'm pretty sure everyone who saw that photo for a split second was like, oh, really?
That's impressive, 77.
Yeah. Birthdays do not bode well in F1.
Although today really ended up being as good as it possibly could for him. Because nothing happened.
Well, we'll get into it. It could have been better for him, that's for sure.
You're right. But not in this. Yeah, he could have moved up. That's true.
He could have gotten a point.
All right, it could have been better, but it couldn't have been worse.
Yes.
Or it could have also been
worse. Which, honestly, for Valtteri, that's not bad at all.
No. This was an okay result.
Yes. So happy birthday.
Yeah.
That concludes our digital roundup for today.
Now, we're on to our racing rhyme. Welcome to Belgium, where rain is never seldom. When it's time for quali, there's so much water. Golly! Lando crashes and hurts his elbow, but when you see the final starting grid, you'll be like, oh, whoa. Max on pole gives the Orange Army something to revel, while George Russell takes Mr. Saturday to a whole new level. P2 and a Williams. Look at me, Toto. Can Valtteri match this brilliance? Race day is here, but doesn't look like we're getting the all clear. Max in P1 sees everything just fine. That's what happens when you're on the front line. Can we start the race now? No, the drivers aren't fishies. While we wait, Red Bull rebuilds Checo's car in a jiffy. Now can we start the racing? Nope, not unless you want to go bathing. Ooh, mayos and fries. Anyone know how much longer time-wise? Lewis is peeing. Carlos and Lando are sleeping. We're weeping. George is eating. George is also tweeting. Seriously, did the race start? Michael, what you got on your charts? Timer started. Now the timer stops. Raindrop, drop top. Shall we give the race a go? Nah. ... Love Spa.
Incredible.
Thought that summed it up quite nicely.
That was more action than the race itself.
I thought so.
Like, truly, no one needs to tune into these races anymore.
Seriously, especially this one. Don't tune in when you can just listen to that.
Yes. Now, on to analysis. Let's start with a normal day, which was yesterday at quali. Lando crashed horribly in Q3.
It was very sad. All his tires flew off.
Yeah, it was because there was wet conditions on the track, and so he kind of like oversteered, tried to correct it, hit the wall, tires fell off, everything was going haywire. And yeah, it was like a pretty... He was, like, going at a pretty high speed, so it was a really high-impact collision into the wall.
Yeah, that's a notorious corner at the Spa track, so it's been dangerous all weekend, I think, and not much you can do unless you're Seb.
Yes, well, it was so sweet. Like, right after Lando crashed, subtle Seb was the first person on the scene of the crime, and he pulled over to check in with him. And I think Lando was able to give a thumbs up. And so then Seb drove away to then yell at, I don't know who was on the other side of the radio, but he was like, I fucking told you. Like, what was his team supposed to do? Like, they're Aston Martin.
Yeah, what are they going to do about it?
He's literally screaming, though, which makes me believe he is the father of F1.
He's so sweet. I mean, not at his engineers, but the general gist of the situation was very sweet.
I think his engineers understood, though. Like, this was clearly, like, an emotional, like, my son was almost killed. How could you? And his engineers are probably like, you're right. You're right.
What everyone was saying basically is that the FIA, Michael, are supposed to listen to the drivers and they're like, the conditions are not good. You need to red flag the race. And that's why Seb was like, I told you so. Because if you'd red flagged, Lando wouldn't have crashed.
Yeah.
But he did and hurt his elbow.
Yes, he did get it x-rayed and he got all checked out and was okay. So he was like ready for today. So after it was announced he was going to come back to the race, the FIA gave him a 5-place grid penalty because he had to change his gearbox. I mean, that's just like a rule we know. So it's not like a bad thing, but it was like the FIA seemed so enthused that he made it out of that horrible accident, which was their fault. They're just like, good for you. Here's a penalty.
Yeah. And a lot of people were complaining that he got the punishment for changing a gearbox caused by a crash. That was caused by the FIA, theoretically, was equivalent to the punishment for Valtteri taking out half the grid last race.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't really, it's like comparing apples to oranges, honestly. Like, you can't, there are different rules for different things, right? Like, that's just what exists. But it did seem aggressive compared to each other. Like, Lando went to the hospital, here's a 5-grid penalty. Valtteri, you destroyed half the grid, here's a 5-grid penalty.
But yeah, other quali results. So Max got pole position and the commentator said, whatever Max did on those jet skis over summer break really prepared him for these wet conditions.
Oh, the commentator's jokes are just like, they're right like, though.
They're bad, but they're good.
Yeah, exactly. They're good if they're coming up with them on the spot. I really hope they didn't like prep like water jokes.
But yeah, since Belgium is close to the Netherlands, the entire Orange Army is back and ready to attack.
Also, this is technically Max's home race as well, because he was born in Belgium.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, and Lando's actually half
yes,
Belgian.
He
is. Yeah.
He was asked, I remember a couple years ago, I think he did an interview and they tried speaking Belgian to him and all he could say, or Flemish, mm-hmm. French. I don't know what Flemish, I think, I'm assuming. And he could say yes. And that was it. So his Belgian is subpar.
He's a British boy through and through.
He is. But yeah, so two Belgians, I suppose, both orange. So could be for either one. Yeah.
Another British boy, though, George Russell, had an incredible day on quali day. He got P2, and everyone was so happy for him.
Yes, the cheers, like, it was really sweet to see, because he worked so hard for this, and the team, as he always mentions. But we always know that when something goes well for George, something else has to suffer. Like, what did we sacrifice for this? The race, you know? So, but we're happy for him that he got P2, and he did really well. His final lap was incredible. He lived up to the name Mr. Saturday.
I'm pretty sure the F1 gods will never let him truly be Mr. Sunday. They're like, you get one day of the week.
Everyone else suffered on your account, but here you go. Here's a trophy. Poor George.
Other quali results, Lewis was in P3, and then Daniel finished in P4, which was a lot of pressure since Lando had his accident and went out in quali, and then Subtle Seb in P5.
It was a great grid lineup.
Yeah.
Random, none of Ferrari didn't make it in at all.
Yeah.
No one could guess how random it would be, but people were ready for things to get shaken up.
So into Sunday, just to set the scene, the first thing that happened was Checo, who I would say is one of the most stable, precise, and careful drivers out there, started off the morning by crashing on his way to the grid because there was like zero visibility.
Which bodes well for the race. His car was destroyed, so he wasn't going to be able to participate. But it was really funny to also see the spectators. It was just a sea of umbrellas and ponchos. Low-key looked like the Niagara Falls. Also looked like the apocalypse. Every time they waved at the camera, it looked like a cry for help rather than a cheer.
Yes. But our favorite spectator of all time, in the middle of this downpour, everyone's soaking wet. He has this crispy basket of frites and a huge dollop of mayo.
And no umbrella.
No umbrella. He's just like, I need both hands right now. He was eating his little fries and mayo, and he is the definition of lost in the sauce. He was living in the sauce.
It was such a leisurely, like, bite after bite. He wasn't rushing. I would have been, like, shoveling it down my throat to maintain crispiness. He didn't care.
I don't even know. He was mentally somewhere dry and nice because he was just chilling.
Yeah. If you believe there's no rain, there won't be any rain.
But that's the energy you need when you're out there for 4 hours straight.
Today. They've been there for 3 days and it's been raining basically the whole time.
I would not advise going to the spa GP because chances are you're going to see and be in a lot of rain and going to have to buy a poncho.
Yes. And from what we've learned, the FIA doesn't seem to learn from 60 years of mistakes. You think they'd move the spa date to a different time of the year?
Yes.
When it's not downpouring.
Back in the day, that was totally fine to have a shit show to see like all the crashes and danger and different conditions. But of course now, like, we're not going to risk safety. So if we're not willing to race in the rain, then don't plan a race in the rain.
Exactly. If you're just going to make everyone sit around while you stare at the same graph for 4 hours, then, like, change something.
The graphs are probably just, like, raining all day.
90% chance of rain. They're like, let's refresh.
Oh, you know what it reminds me of? In Mean Girls, where Karen's, like, yes, holding her boobs, and she's like, there's a 90% chance it's raining.
That was messy. Oh, my God. Yeah. The entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, it's so annoying that, like, this keeps happening. Like, especially, I think also today, the cars, because they're so,
Brittle,
sure. aerodynamic. It makes them even more dangerous in the rain and the wind and everything. So, obviously, it was dangerous before with, like, 6 people dying a day. But, like,
yes,
the cars are even more fragile now. So they really can't race in this types of conditions. But again, just change the date.
Yes, just, yeah, exactly. Can't be that hard.
No, you can't look up at the sky on Sunday and be like, wow, who saw this coming?
Like, yeah, everyone knew.
Not a shock.
Yeah.
All right, so into a bit of rain analysis. The two main issues that they kept repeating and that kept changing like every half an hour were visibility and aquaplaning. Visibility was a huge issue because you're spraying water back at the people behind you, so they can't see anything. The only person that was fine was Max, because there was no one in front of him. So he was like, this seems great. Let's race. And everyone was like, no. Can't see where I'm going. It gave me lots of Dementor vibes.
Yeah, so it was scary.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, the second issue is aquaplaning. Is that the British term? I swear we call it hydroplaning.
Yeah, I don't know what they say there, but
They kept going aqualady.
So it's synonymous.
Yes. I kept thinking of that movie about mermaids, aquamarine, every time they said it.
I thought about Aquaman from SpongeBob.
Not Aquaman, the superhero.
Oh, no. Like Aquaman and Barnacle Boy.
I love how highbrow our comparisons are.
Yes.
Anyway, so obviously, like, aquaplaning is bad because there's puddles and you slide and you crash. Mm-hmm. And lack of visibility is bad because you can't see. You slip and you crash. Everything ends in a crash. So understandably, the race was delayed. Should have been canceled, but it was delayed. And this ended up causing a lot of confusion all around about all the rules associated with this. So first starting procedures were delayed. And so everyone was like, does that mean the race hasn't started yet? But then it turned out the race had started yet. Because technically, there's a 3-hour window from the official start time of the race until the race has to finish. But then the Stews were like, we don't want that rule right now. So they canceled it and said, we're not timing anymore until we like officially start driving again. By that point, though, it was so late that the race was only going to be allowed to be an hour, which at Spa isn't enough time to cover enough of the race length to make it considered a full race, which is 75% of the race. Spa is so long that going for an hour is not enough to reach that, which automatically sort of means that everyone would only receive half points should they restart the race. And then when they actually restarted or started the race, whatever it was that happened, the timer went off for an hour. So they did 2 laps behind the safety car or the medical car. And then they got red flagged because it was dangerous and the timer did not stop. So it was counting down. But no one really knew what was going on. They like questioned, is the race starting? Is the race starting? Michael, hello? Did the race start? Over and over and over again.
So what ended up happening is we all stared at the rain for 4 hours straight. Like no one was allowed to leave because the race was going to start any minute. But little things we did like... Because, like, you know, it was a lot of hanging out time. So we got to see a lot of the drivers do stuff we don't usually do, like getting their feet wiped.
Yes. Whether it's not to make the brakes wet or just because they are so pampered, every time they'd step into the car, they'd lift their foot up so someone could wipe them off.
Like with a little towel, they would just like go do 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 do.
It looked like literally like those movies about royals where they don't know how to dress themselves, so they're just sitting there like waiting to be wiped.
Exactly. So that was cute, and then Gasly was also super cute.
Yeah, at the beginning of the race, before the first start, he was like, "Is this race still going to be 2 hours?" And his engineer was like, "Are you worried about your dinner?"
He probably wanted to say yes, actually.
Yeah, he probably really was. Because after they stopped the race the first time, all the drivers just started shoveling food down their throats.
So they were probably really hungry, but also it was so stressful. They probably wanted to stress eat. And then also there's just nothing to do. There are many reasons to start shoveling food into your mouth.
Yes. Also, so at one point, Michael was getting a lot of calls, and he seemed to actually have time for the calls today because he was staring at the same chart for 4 hours. So the first phone call he got was from Jonathan, the head of racing at Red Bull. Michael picked up, and he was like, I don't know yet, Jonathan. And Jonathan's like, "What? How do you know what I was going to ask?" And he's like, "You're going to ask if Checo can participate again." And Jonathan was like, "Well, can he?" And he's like, "Gotta talk to Stu, BRB."
Yeah.
So then Michael went to talk to the Stews. They said, "Sure, if you can fix the car in time." And Red Bull was like, "Challenge accepted. Don't have anything else to do."
Yeah, they did really great. Another great call. I saw it pop up on the screen that Mercedes was calling the FIA. I was like, oh, like, this should be, like, serious. And Mercedes just goes, "Michael, I'm cold. And Michael's like, why don't you go get a coffee then?
Yes. But what was interesting was that when he said, go get a coffee, Mercedes was like, are we allowed to do that?
Are we allowed to leave the track and go to Starbucks?
Starbucks at F1. Blasphemy. They have high quality espresso there.
Yes. Well, that's what I mean. Like, there's espresso everywhere.
I think the pit wall, which is like all the people staring at charts or one chart, were like, are they bound to the desk? Like, because that's what it sounded. He's like, are we allowed to leave? And he's like, yeah, you got 10 minutes.
Oh, like, yeah. And people were like, wait, why do they only have 10 minutes? Like, is the race starting in 10 minutes? Or is Michael now like their dictator?
Is there a rule in the handbook that you can only take 10-minute coffee breaks?
I'm sure.
But it did restart. So that after those 10 minutes, Michael's like, we're starting again. And they all ran. They literally, everyone ran to the cars, like threw food out the windows. Like
all the espresso in the air.
Go, go, go. Lewis hopped on a scooter.
Well, it really just injected life into the day for, like, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Yeah, they needed David Attenborough narrating this entire thing because it was like a nature documentary watching everyone just exist in the most mundane 4 hours ever. Other funny things, Lando fell asleep.
I like that the announcers were like, he's only 21. He needs to sleep. Like, okay, he's not a baby, but okay. But they word for word said, it's all too much for little Lando Norris. They totally infantilize him, but I mean, he is a baby.
I was more concerned that the old people needed a nap.
Oh, yeah.
Kimmy, surely Kimmy, he looked surly in every shot. Oh my
god. I love when they just pan to Kimmy and he's alone in a garage.
The commentators made a funny anecdote that apparently at a different race where they were in a landlock, Kimmy just went and got some ice cream and like left.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, as long as Kimmy doesn't have his ice cream, we still have a shot.
Yes, yes.
They were wrong. It's a little rainy for ice cream.
Yeah, he wasn't in the mood, even though he's the ice man. But yeah, Lando sleeping was a stark contrast to Daniel, who tried to start the wave with the spectators. Daniel was like giving interviews, like talking to people, was super lively, which like great for him. Cause like, I mean, he was just trying to find things to do and keep people updated.
He was like, gotta keep warm, gotta keep warm.
Meanwhile, Lando's like staring into a void so hard he fell asleep and then shoveling food in his mouth when he's awake.
My favorite Lando moment was when he filmed the camera guy with the camera right in his face and went, two can play this game.
Yeah, that was cute.
It was cute. I didn't realize. I thought it was like very Love Island-esque where there's cameras hidden. No, there's like legit giant-ass cameras shoved in your face.
Yep.
All the time. They're truly reality stars where you forget that there's a camera there. Because I can focus on anything if that was happening to me.
Yeah, exactly. I also really liked the Ferrari garage where Charles and Carlos were sitting right next to each other, both staring at their phones. But then Ferrari zoomed in to both of their phone screens and they were playing chess against each other on their phones, which I found so cute.
It's very cute. And it was funny because the commentators were like, they're just on their phones next to each other in silence. But no, they were in the middle of a very important game.
Yeah, like I feel like when young people are on their phones, older people just assume they're like on TikTok, which not entirely unfair, but sometimes we are doing cool stuff that they would respect, like playing chess or reading the news, you know?
Yeah, it was, but they couldn't compete on track, so they found the only way they could compete against each other.
Yeah.
That was Chet, online chess.
They're both classy men.
They are. Ferrari man, espresso, chess, and classy men.
Oh, they're prancing horses.
Like the knight.
Yes, that horse thing. That does yell.
I also like Carlos's social presence. Like, he posted a picture of him sleeping and just went, hi. Then he posted pictures of him and Charles looking really bad under umbrellas, like really blurry images of them. Like, they were all really bored.
Yeah, they were super bored. And then in the Haas garage, Seb was playing football with Mick.
It's just such a, like, he's such a dad.
Yes, he is. The father of F1.
True. He went all the way to the Haas garage. No one ever wants to just go to the Haas garage. The Aston Martin team tweeted at Haas, like, can you let us know when he's on his way back? And Haas is like, no.
You know, like, that one video where Mick was driving his dad's, like, first car? The Vroom Vroom. They posted a video, like, yesterday or something. It showed behind the scenes before Mick did that, Seb was actually, like, talking Mick through, like, how to drive it.
Yeah, sorry. That caption will forever make me cry. It is the funniest thing.
For some reason.
I don't know why. I'm in me dad's car. Vroom, vroom. She went, get out, me car. And she went, no. And it kills me every time. I don't know why it's not funny. But yes, Seb was walking him through how to drive this old school car and was just a stand-in.
So yeah, that's essentially what happened for what should have been a race. But when everyone got super excited and started throwing all their shit and going into their cars, they actually did two laps behind a safety car.
Yeah, they did two laps behind a safety car. Then they were like, nah, still sucks, and went back into the pits where the timer kept going until Michael was like, I give up.
But the rule is that once two laps are completed, but less than 75% of the original race length, then half of the points are awarded. So these race results today are just based on these two laps following a safety car, which in many people's opinion, it's hard to call that a race.
Well, it's not a race, right? It's like, what's the word? It's like meeting a rule, like meeting like requirements. Yeah, there, it's based off quality results. It's based off the quality. There was no race. It was based off the qualifying results. And in order to award a certain amount of points, they needed to lap twice.
Yeah. People are still upset about that.
Right. So like they don't deserve the points.
But whatever. That's what's happening. So Max won. It's kind of like a sad win. But I mean, Max, everyone said this is a must win for Max. And he did it.
They were right.
And then George got his first ever podium in P2, which, yeah.
Like, super happy for George. And he seemed to be like, KK, like, got, like, still celebrating, but, like.
It's bittersweet.
Yes, because it would have been awesome to see. Is it called? They say on merit, right? It'd be awesome to see him win on merit rather than because of a technicality. Thank you.
Yeah. And then Lewis got in P3. So actually, Lewis is still leading in the overall driver standings, but I think only by like 3 points or something like that. It's not by a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Lewis has 202.5 points. Oh, yeah. Also, since they slashed things in half, there's like 0.5s now.
Yeah.
So Lewis has 202.5 points, and then Max has 199.5 points. So it's a 3-point difference now.
They did say after, when they went in for the second try, that Max would definitely not want the race restarted at this point because he doesn't want to risk it. And this time around, he kept saying, oh, the visibility is much worse. And I'm like, is the visibility worse, or are you just trying to say that so you don't? Or was it actually worse? It didn't look worse to me. Obviously, I'm not there. I know it's bad. It looked about equal to me. But I couldn't tell if he was like, I don't want to race right now because I need my points.
I don't know. Max seems pretty confident. Like, that's I think true. He would have wanted full points, to be honest. Like,
yeah, you're right.
He I'm would not. Pretty sure he would have won.
But you think George would have gotten P2?
Nope. Because the F1 gods won't allow it.
That is, yes. Is it the F1 gods? Are the Stews the F1 gods?
They stopped time itself today. So, I mean, I don't know what else you'd need to be a god.
God's name is Stu.
That's the name of the Rugrats' dad. Stuart. Also Stuart Little. I don't know a good Stew.
No, they're never good. They're always weird.
Also, funny fact, Mazepin won fastest lap today because I guess he went really fast behind that safety car. But the thing is, he can't get any points because he wasn't even close to the top 10.
Whoa. But good for you, Nikita. I'm really happy.
Literally no one was trying, you know? And he's like, I'm going to do my very best to stay in line.
And it worked. So yes. A+.
Good for him. Okay. So I still think we should do our driver of the day segment, even though there was like no driving today. Yes. And I'd like to give my nomination to George, mainly for his drive on Saturday, because that truly was a brilliant drive, right?
Yes.
Like, he earned that. And so he really did earn today's podium.
Yeah. And a trophy. And he got the spray champagne or sparkling wine, which apparently...
Do they have budget constraints?
I don't know.
Why is it sparkling wine and not champagne?
I'm not sure. The bottles look exactly the same. Has it been sparkling wine this whole time? Are they going to switch to the kids' champagne? What's it called? Sparkling apple juice.
Oh, apple cider.
No, but the name of the brand, it was called Martinelli's. Yes. We always call it kids' champagne on New Year's Eve because we didn't get wine. But anyway... Yeah, I'm happy for George. He is our driver of the day. The only other people that might deserve it is the Red Bull pit crew for rebuilding Checo's car because they did a good job. Although they wouldn't let Checo leave the premises in case he could race.
Which, you know, just given how everything was going, fair. And like, where was Checo going to go? Like,
I don't know. Apparently he tried to leave. He's like, I'm going to go, guys. And I'm like, no.
I did see memes and stuff of like things being symbolic of the Red Bull pit crew running around looking for parts so they can rebuild the car. They're just like, we're not equipped to rebuild an entire car right now. But they were like running around.
They certainly did a better job than with Max last race, where they literally duct taped it and were like, good, cool.
And then our dick in the box, one man stands out.
Yes. Michael Massey.
He made us stare at the rain for 4 hours for something all of his graphs and also everyone else could have told him, which is that it's raining.
Can we consider Michael like the head of state, like where he represents the Stews? So he basically is suffering for all the decisions they make. Or is he making these calls?
He makes the calls, too.
All right. Well, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's also an idiot.
Please, for next year, reschedule it to a better weather forecast.
Yes. Like I know they kept saying they were waiting for, like, a break. Like a quick sunshine break so they could like zoom out real quick and do a lap or two.
Why?
And also it clearly says 100% chance of rain. The cloud is sitting on top of you and not moving. Like, and
also the track doesn't dry up that quickly. So like,
no, they sent those trucks out.
No, I know. But like, even so, you know, it's like not entirely safe.
No. Wait, though, the funniest one was where there was that guy with the broom.
Like, oh, I missed it.
It was some guy standing with one broom, like sweeping a corner of the track, like the water off. And I'm like, do you really think this will solve the problem? Do you think you will save this race doing this? But they tried. And they did say that the fastest way to dry up a track was to get the F1 cars out there because they're so hot that they dry up the track, but then they can't go out there because it's too wet.
Yep. So Michael Massey truly wasted everyone's time today. And also, like Lewis said, I hope all of the spectators get their money back or, like, you know, an exchange to, like, some other race. Because, like, that seriously sucks for them to just stand there with, like, zero racing.
Agreed. But also such a Lewis thing to say.
I mean, like, he does. I think he genuinely does care about that kind of stuff.
I know. I think he does. I'm not doubting his intentions behind the statements. It's just the fact that he said it.
Yeah, he's just the very person Lewis. Who would say it.
Yes. So. Yes.
Okay. Ready for the sign off?
All right. So next week we're in the Netherlands.
Woohoo! No, I really am excited for the Dutch Grand Prix.
Same. I looked up how to pronounce the name of the place we're at. I think it's Zandvoort. But we're actually hoping to get some racing done. Obviously, Max is the hopeful winner because home race, very exciting for him. I hope Lando gets a redemption and has enough time to heal his elbow.
Yeah.
He's lucky they did not race today. I'm very happy. All right, so hopefully we'll have a bit more racing commentary next week. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and follow us on social. We're BoxBox F1 Pod, literally everywhere. See you then. BoxBox.
BoxBox.